Good evening, and welcome to Quantum Sound Therapy Teleseminar. My name is Helena Riley, and I will be your host this evening. And this is Happy New Year. We're now 4 days into the new year. And of course, many of you have expressed that the energy is quite different this year. Even that in the transition, you experience, some people have been saying they experience more gentleness. I spoke with Ginny Grigio in San Francisco, who noted there was actually a 4.7 earthquake this morning, and no one noticed it. Strange. So I'm going to set some parameters for this. Is many are saying this is the year of the master, but what's most important is we are the home of the I-cubes, as many of you know, and particularly the focus is now on the miracle I-cube. And tonight, we have several different sections of the program. We're going to be asking you a few questions. One of them is it will be intention setting. And the focus will be for the next year, focusing on how to use scalar energy to maximize your potential of that energy. There's nothing more powerful in healing than the use of scalar energy. Sound is indeed very powerful, but scalar cuts through all barriers, all blocks, all impediments to growth and healing. And so it can have an immense and subtle impact on the brain. And what I've seen, though, in the tribe, in the community, is that it is a living energy field, which many of you are understanding. And even at this point, right now, in this real time, if you're aware of subtle energy in the quantum field, you'll realize that you have now entered into a space with me. And so the living energy field, and I invite you to do that, the living energy field of the scalar energy I-cube is enhanced greatly if there is a communication. So I like to use the analogy, it's like having a relationship. And if you ignore it, it's going to sort of wither a bit and not be as alive and dynamic. So with the miracle, we'll be going over throughout the course of the year different ways to use the energy. If you're having challenges, how to combat those using scalar energy. If you'd like to accomplish certain things in your life, how to do that. If you're attempting to manifest or co-create something new, how to use the scalar energy field to accomplish that. And I got an email and some, you know, there's a lot of people selling subscription programs and such. And I can tell you that if you have any of the devices, whether it's the Om Pocket or the Miracle or a Theta Love or even one of the earlier versions, the Awaken, those are some of the earlier, that you can use this to do any type of long-distance healing. So I will make the commitment to teach you how to do that and also to change any persistent pattern within yourself. It does take conscious awareness, but I can tell you also, there's no magical voodoo master that sits with their little device and heals you from a distance. It just doesn't exist. So I suggest you don't buy into that. And I suggest it is my intention to assist in 2018, to assist a number of people to enter into the realm of their own mastery. In your own mastery, you wouldn't be doing that. You would not be giving your power away in that way. And so that is going to, the program tonight, we are going to be hearing from two amazing healers, both who have already had the miracle in their lives for over a year. And I was just going to check before I make this announcement if Deb Sponefeld is on the line, because I see a large group, but I am wondering if you're, I can tell you, if you're listening in on the webcast, that you won't be able to speak. You'll need to either call in on a Skype line or on a cell phone or a phone or any other device that you can use. But if you're on the webcast, we won't be able to hear you. So if you want to message me, that would be great, because I don't see your name on the call-in list, actually. But I do see, let's see, oh, hold on. Let me see. This is Deb. Before I announce it, is this Deb? No. Okay. Hello? Okay. Yeah, it's not Deb. I'm just checking in. Okay. So Deb, if you are, I forgot to explain that to you, that if you are on the webcast, we won't be able to hear you. I'm just checking again. Okay, so then I'm going to introduce, if you could call in, that would be great. I'll be able to see when you call in on a phone or on a Skype line. It's fine as well. And so tonight we have Sheila Seppi with us. And Sheila has been with us for many years, actually. She is an extraordinary healer in the Avon, Colorado area, which is, Avon is very close to Vail. And we saw this morning, if some of you were on the Zoom call, we saw her beautiful office. She was, it's incredible, actually, a healing center and quite a vortex. And Sheila, I'll never forget the call that I received from her. She wanted to know if she could buy 5 focus cubes. And so that was my first call with Sheila. And Sheila is a very creative healer who has combined so many modalities that it is really impressive. And she also has many certifications and does a lot of energy work in that area and long distance healing, and is really very, very gifted. So we're honored to have her in the community. And it also, for those of you that are wondering, if you are healers, whether you're listening tonight on January 4th and or in 3 years, if you're, or tomorrow night, if you are healers, the thing about the Miracle I-Cube and the Scalar Energy is that it's an excellent complement to many, many modalities. It will support those and support and clear both the environment and your own energy field on a constant basis. And we all know, if we've been in healing, we do all know that that is a very important thing to do, to clear your own field on a constant basis. So I'd like to welcome Sheila, and she's going to share some of her experience with the Miracle. Are you there, Sheila? I've unmuted you.
I am. Thank you so much, Helena. Hello,
you're
everybody.
Welcome.
Yeah. Gosh, I guess I've been with the company maybe, gosh, close to 8 years, I think. I started out using the protection cube, then went to the focus, and then the Ohm pocket, and really began sharing that with my clients because it was a way that they could kind of take that transformative power with them wherever they went, and then was super excited. And actually think I was one of the first people to start working with the Miracle when it came out last year. And it was amazing at the things I began to see. First off, in my business, it began to just take off like crazy. And then the clients really were drawn to that. I also used the Harmony, and I had moved the Harmony to my other office. So I was using the Miracle and the Harmony, and people really began to notice the difference. They felt like one was more masculine and one was more feminine. But with the Miracle, I have found, and consistently with the people that I talk to that use it in their lives on a regular basis, it really begins to bring up old patterning to the surface to be healed. It begins to soften the energy and make that healing process, I think, a little bit more gentle. But also, one of the most amazing things for me is that it has really deepened my meditation and the work that I'm able to do. And when I'm using it with clients and we're in a meditation state, they just immediately drop into a deeper space than they say they've been able to experience on their own. So that was really exciting. And then again, when people walk into my office, the first thing is like, oh, this is so relaxing. And they can begin to feel that energy. Now, I also work with the water and try to share that with people. And one of the most beautiful things that I can see about that is whether people are placing their vocal tones into the water, whether they're using it for a specific frequency, having that water also helps to support this journey that each and every one of us are experiencing with the miracle. And Elaine, I really like what you say about it being a living energy field, because for me, I think that is so true. And other people that I've talked to, it's when you start to get into close proximity of the miracle, you can begin to feel that. When you're doing healing work in the field of the miracle, it seems as if it's really opening up those cells to receive that energy on a much, much deeper level. And one other thing, when I first started working with these tools, and even to this day, any time that you're doing any kind of psychic work, I find that it so enhances my ability to tap into or to drop into particular spaces with people. Just like I'm, you know, of course I'm in the field now, as I'm sure many of you are as well. And being able to connect with each other, it just feels like exactly what you said, Helena, that we're able to drop into that field and connect much deeper with you as well. So I love the miracle. I have them in my home. I have them in my office. I take them with me to my Colorado Springs office. I have the Ohm Pocket. I am just very grateful to be able to operate in this field. So thank you so much, Elena.
Thank you. And I think what I've been hearing over and over again, and we'll be sharing testimonials. We have a few people sort of out with the flu, but the depth at which the miracle is penetrating is what I heard consistently after we did the Zoom call. And let us know if you're interested in being on the Zoom calls on Thursday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, because the depth at which it's penetrating the subconscious and is really extraordinary. And since it works gently 24/7, it is going to very deep levels. And that's what we're going to hear about now from Deb, she did come on. I'm going to unmute her. And Deb is also another therapist who is in Orillia, Ontario, Canada. And we've been working with Deb also a very long time. And Deb was a trauma therapist, so she is used to looking at psychological change as a matter of necessity, like as a matter of survival in many cases. And so, but she also has a very deep perspective on the human psyche. So I'd like to welcome Deb Svanefelt, who also has a private practice, in case there's anyone listening from that area. I do see people from all over the place. Deb, when
Hello,
we first
Helena.
Spoke, you're there. Good. Excellent. Welcome. Good to hear your voice live. And we know you've had a long history with us, and I was just wondering if you could refresh our memory when you first spoke with us and got the first IQ, and then when you got the miracle, if you can remember that, because it's been a while.
Yeah, I do actually remember both of them quite clearly. The first time is really etched in my memory forever. It was in November of 2010, and I was in Toronto, and I met Bill Little down there. And then I've had the Yeah. And then I've had the miracle. What's that?
Energy psychology. At the ASAP conference, the energy psychology conference that I sent it to. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. And I started acquiring iCubes pretty immediately thereafter, and I had quite the collection. I have some out on loan at this point, and I've sold one of them, but I still have a number. And the miracle is my newest one. I've had that a little over a year now, and it's in my studio space along with my Tesla and one of my focus cubes.
Okay, excellent. So you've had the miracle over a year. And what have you noticed in terms of the holy shifts, what I'm calling in the new book, The Voice Code? What have you noticed and what have you experienced more specifically since the miracle came into your life?
Yeah, it's been really profound, Helena. So I think the biggest thing has been around creativity. So, you know, as a trauma therapist, I've been consistently aware of this over 35 years of working with children and their families who've experienced profound levels of trauma. One of the things that I noticed first was they lacked a capacity for playing anymore, for just having fun, because, of course, survival takes the number one place above everything. And because of that, when people become experience trauma, it tends to replicate over and over again in the brain. The patterns keep coming back, and what happens is we lose our creativity. We start thinking in very structured, patterned ways that have to do with how we cope with stress and trauma. And so lots of times, you know, that is the fight, flight, or freeze response. And the more often we experience something that even reminds us a little bit of whatever the trauma, the original trauma was, our brains are in some ways lazy. You know, they really scan anything new that's coming in as an experience for, is this familiar? Because if it's familiar, it sends us on the old hamster wheel of been here and done that before. And so when people have been traumatized, and I would really posit that there's not a person alive on the planet that has not experienced trauma, whether it's, you know, not all of us have had massive events, traumatic events, but we can't live on a planet that's as dense as this, with separation consciousness, with feeling separated from each other, with all the war, all the violence, without experiencing at some level in the unified field the trauma of that. So what happens in the brain neurologically is when something traumatic happens, we tend to look for, the brain just tends to look for what's similar in this new experience. And if there's anything that's even a little bit similar, then it will send us back into the fight, flight, or freeze responses, which keeps us stuck in the limbic center of the brain, the emotional processing, over and over and over again. And the more time we spend there, the more the neurological circuitry gets elaborated in that part of the brain. And so it becomes more and more difficult then for us to move from that way of seeing the world. You know, we can talk about this in terms of stories. It becomes more difficult to step out of our old stories of, you know, having been traumatized in some way or stressed in some way, to look in novel ways, in creative ways at what's happening to us. So it becomes much more difficult to enter into the areas of the brain that have to do with more positive states of consciousness. So deep creativity, profound relaxation, feeling, you know, a sense of oneness with everything, rather than feeling like we're all always at the effect of what's traumatic and difficult. So in answer to your question, I know this is the long way around, but one of the biggest things I've noticed is that my capacity for thinking creatively has really increased. And it started happening pretty immediately. I mean, within 3 weeks of listening to some of the frequencies through the miracle, I could feel a difference in terms of my creative response. I had new programs in terms of what I offer to clients here that came to me. My artistic ability massively increased. So there were very, very evident shifts that began to happen that were just so clear. So that's one thing. New insights. It's just been a very rich and juicy experience for me being alive in the field of the miracle. And in addition to that, then, you know, when I talked about clear focus earlier, I think one of the other things I've noticed is that my thinking is much clearer, Helena. So I don't just mean, you know, in each moment when I'm sort of thinking about the world, but my consciousness has shifted so that even now when I get triggered by something that would have sent me around the loop, let's say, before the miracle came in, what I notice is I don't have that immediate reactivity that I used to have, emotional reactivity. So now much more often I'm able to stop, notice that I'm getting triggered by something, and look at what, you know, what else I can do about that. So that's massive as well for me.
That's cool.
That's right?
Really the number one thing on the planet. Yeah. If we were less reactive, we'd have less war, we'd have less conflict, less divorce. Yeah. We would have better workplaces.
Less anxiety,
that's
less
huge.
Depression. And the thing is, the more I've been able to do that, the less I have fallen into those sort of old the old stories about what reality is really all about. So it has supported my looking at the world, again, in a much more creative way, but in a way that's just so much more enjoyable because I just don't end up feeling as stressed out as I used to.
Yes, of course. So the amygdala is less active. And how would you say, so give us a couple of examples of how that might have changed. Like we heard I was getting some amazing texts over Christmas, how people's relationships were healed. And I think they were texting me because they were so excited that, you know, after, let's say, 30 years of the same Christmas,
yeah.
where people were fighting, that suddenly they were loving. And I heard some of this feedback continued. So tell us concretely, like a couple of things you might have noticed, and if you can think of that. And also, if you've used a specific intention, because that was one thing I had heard, and I will be suggesting the group do over this year, that we create intentions with our miracles as a group. You suggested this today, so that we might work on a similar intention. It could be gratitude, for example. So I just wondered if you wanted to share a couple of concrete things or something else that you might want to shift, tell us that you specifically were able to shift to people get an idea of what it's capable of unveiling to us or releasing.
Sure.
It's a better
yeah,
way.
Absolutely. So one of the things I would say that has really changed, you know, people talk a lot about the law of attraction. But when our brains are locked in survival mode, the law of attraction continues to replicate that pattern as well. You know, the more that's what we're sort of putting out into the world, the more of that we get. And there's this sort of reenactment thing that happens with trauma as well, or with stress patterns, or with old stories. So one of the things I've noticed is the more relaxed I've become, the less trigger happy in terms of my old stories I've become, the more space has opened up for me to begin to manifest in brand new ways. And some of that's been financial and some of that's been in other ways. So recent examples, Christmas time, you know, I have a long-term history in terms of my old stories of having felt like Christmas was a bit of a time of scarcity when I grew up. My way of coping with that as an adult with children was both to overspend to make up for what I felt like I didn't get as a kid myself, and to leave things at the last minute in terms of preparing. So I was always in this real sort of stress mode around getting ready for Christmas, getting everything wrapped on time, getting everything, if I was, you know, creating gifts, finished on time. And this year, for the first year, it was just much more relaxed than that. I didn't leave things to the last minute. Not that I planned to do things differently. I just felt much easier about getting done what I needed to do in a way that brought more pleasure into my life and more pleasure and less stress. So that's a big difference for me, just going through the whole Christmas season, feeling like I could just relax and enjoy the season instead of feeling the stressors that I have been used to experiencing. Another example is kind of in some ways a funny one, but in October I fell down a set of basement stairs and cracked my head open and ended up with six or seven stitches in my forehead.
Ouch.
And yeah, I know it was not a fun way to learn this, but you know, if that had happened to me a number of years ago, it probably would have been fairly easy for me to go into victim mode about why did this happen to me, and you know, I have bad luck, and why am I so sort of clumsy and physically unskilled. And I didn't do any of that this time. What I really was able to focus on, again, because when those old stories aren't there, there's just more space in your life for doing other things. So immediately, while my hand was literally on my forehead, I started focusing at the bottom of the stairs while the ambulance was being called to come and, you know, put me on the backboard and take me off to the hospital. I immediately started focusing on gratitude. I started thinking about, wow, I'm not sure what's wrong, but I don't feel like anything is broken. And aren't I lucky? I mean, I'm 64 at this point, Helena, and a lot of people my age would have experienced broken hips, or cracked bones, or, internal bleeding, or, a concussion. I had none of that. And, you know, while I can't say that it's the miracle that prevented those things from happening, even though the miracle was certainly on in the space, what I can say is what seems to have generalized for me at this point after just a year of being in the field of the miracle. Now, mind you, I've had 7 years of being inside the scalar field, the scalar field, the unified field that these create or at least intensify on the planet. But within such a short period of time, to have something as profoundly potentially damaging in terms of, you know, worry and concern and anxiety turn out as easy as it was. I mean, I had nothing that was major that was wrong with me. I had some internal bruising that took, you know, probably about 3 weeks to heal. Now, again, I don't know. I can't say that physically my healing was accelerated. But for a person my age, again, I'm just amazed at how little damage I sustained in the first place and how quickly I healed from that. And all within this sort of, again, the law of attraction field of just being in gratitude for how little I seemed to be affected by it. It was just like almost like, you know, it was not like dusting myself off, standing up, dusting myself off because, you know, I ended up in emergency. But on a deeper level, on a non-physical level, looking not even just emotionally, but if we looked at my mental body and my spiritual body, I just felt like I was in a much stronger place where I could just continue to feel connected to gratitude.
Resilience. Yes, that's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. Resilience.
Yes.
And sort of elasticity. Well, that is one of the things, is that the miracle will always work deeply on a level of cellular rejuvenation. And one of the things we do need to cover over this year, and I would like to make this distinction, is that, you know, when the miracle came in, we also shifted into the amplifiers that deliver the deep delta frequencies, which is the key to repatterning, so that, you know, we've all been really patterned into survival patterns and instincts, and but when you go into higher states of consciousness and also deeper state, alpha, theta, the survival is not the same. It's, which is what I hear Deb saying, is that when you're calmer, you probably will be injured less. And that occurs on many, many levels, right? And of course, there's an active vortex of protection around anyone that has the scalar vortex. Someone was asking us today about vortexes, and of course, not all vortexes are exactly the same, but a vortex, you know, allows, one of the main missions behind the miracle is to connect you with your own higher self. And that leads us into the next question. But it is to connect you with your causal body. So in that, you would also have connections with all those assisting you, and to connect you with those that are guiding you. And those are beneficial energies. They're trying to keep you on track, so to speak, in a positive way, in a very gentle, positive way. But if we don't listen to them, you know, that's completely our free will choice. So the miracle is actually a shortcut to make your life a bit easier on many levels. So even if there are karmas to be experienced, the blow is softened.
Yeah, it's so it's so interesting that you're sharing that, Helena, about our connection to our higher selves, because the wording that I used pretty immediately afterwards and since then, in terms of describing that whole experience, I felt like I had my angels on both my shoulders and all around me, softening the experience and really creating the least damage possible. So I was able to just relax, surrender really into the experience of falling, you know, as unappealing as that is to think about falling down the stairs, but to really feel like I was safely being embraced by all my guides.
I'm sure you were. And also the relaxing is, you know, probably what results in less injury, but I'm sure you were also protected. And that is just so people understand that this is a multidimensional technology that does pull in your higher aspects of your being, because, you know, it's very needed at this point. And one of the questions, is there anything else you'd like to say? Because we'll transition into, I'd like everyone to start really thinking right now. Well, first we'll wrap. Is there anything else you'd like to conclude with, Deb, about your...
Just one other thing, Helena, and that's really, I have well over 25 years as a transcendental meditator. When I was in my therapy work, I would use TM two or three times a day, every day. And it was my number one go-to way of dealing with self-care and minimizing all the sort of stress that can come when you're sensitive and working with people who are super traumatized. So I had that history. And what I would say about the miracle is that the train the brain component to working with frequencies and has been really powerful for me as well. I now feel like I'm able to close my eyes, not necessarily use my TM mantra, and still access those same very expanded, leaving my body states of consciousness. And it's so easy for me now. I literally can just close my eyes, deepen my breathing, and my brain has developed the neural pathways now to make that easy. And I really see that it feels to me like some of that has been 25 years of doing TM, but I know other meditators who don't necessarily get to that same place where they can not necessarily rely on their TM mantra. And for me, I really believe that the miracle has helped accelerate that training the brain into those deeper states of consciousness. So it's much easier for me to get there now. And that feels really awesome. If I start to feel stressed out, it's much easier to get into those expansive states.
And that, thank you for sharing that, because that is, you know, that is the entrainment. And for those of you on the line, and we have a lot of people on the line tonight, a lot on the webcast and a lot on the phone, someone even from Kuala Lumpur, and Celine from Ireland. Hello, Celine. So from all over the place, Alaska. Okay, so, and Kamloops, BC. So the point of that is that as you entrain the brain, and by the way, your entrainment with the voice frequencies and even with the frequencies, when we were speaking recently to Hilarion, it is enhanced with the use of headphones, of course. So I bought some sort of expensive headphones, about over $100, $150 or so, to start experimenting, because we always taught that not to do that, but it's, you know, the scalar is like surround sound, and it is, of course, in the environment. But when you're doing your own personal frequencies and there can be distractions in the environment, or let's say you're at a public event, there's some very good points. And the brain, it is exercising when it's going into the theta, alpha, and delta states, it becomes a stronger and stronger response instead of the high beta. So that, I think, is what Deb is saying, is that ultimately, as the group progresses and we evolve together in unison, I hope, instead of in conflict, as we evolve together, we will begin to evolve very different perceptions of ourselves in the world, because when you begin to use your brain that way and it begins to stay more centered in alpha and theta, your worldview begins to shift. And as your pineal begins to decalcify, and I hope some of you are still doing the turmeric, and at least occasionally to keep some of the toxicity at bay, and the various things I was talking about over the summer, the Haritake powder, as you begin to evolve, that perception of the world also changes. So that, the important thing to understand about that is that you can receive guidance and also actualize your highest potential. You know, things are really much easier getting, accomplishing, either manifesting a desire or creating a different thing in your life. It all becomes much more fluid because of your enhanced capacity, so you become a more evolved being. That's kind of the point of living in the scalar field. We don't, you know, we really try to explain that we are not really teaching a belief system other than your own evolution. And strongly believing that each person has a purpose here. And one of the things Deb had suggested earlier was, when I spoke with her, was this year has come in a very different energy, and we're going to ask you, what are you being invited or asked to do this year? It's a good thing to contemplate, and what your intentions are. But as you live in this field, you're bathing in it. It's difficult for the exclusively third dimensional mind to understand this, because the third dimension is physical, it's Newtonian. And the dimension that we're speaking about, we're already connected, and our connections will occur in perfect time. And we're connecting on subtle levels. So as I was talking to Deb, one of the things that I'll be integrating into our meditation and visualization tonight is not only a journey where we, so if we're finished, Deb, I'm going to go into this naturally.
Yeah, absolutely, Helena. Thank you so much.
Okay. And thank you. Thank you. We're kind of being invited into another dimension. So what's happening tonight is that I would like you to, we're going to do a visualization that Deb actually suggested to me earlier. So this is a continuation of I'd like you to choose three doors that you need to close tonight. And those are doors that, and I will be doing this, I'm going to put you into trance, and then we're going to be closing three doors and opening or becoming aware of the subtle energies of six new openings. And then I'm going to conclude, and then we'll be probably coming back into the dimension, this dimension, but I'd also like you to give away, throw away, destroy, burn, whatever turns you on, nine things in your life as a way to seal this contract. So we're using Tesla's 369, and I have 369 in my own numerology, so we're going to use that, but I want you three doors that you need to close. It could be a pattern in yourself, because I'm suggesting this year that the miracle. Today I asked people in the Zoom, what is the miracle here for? We got a few different types of answers, all very, very true. But actually, the miracle is here for love and for oneness, to herald the oneness. It's working very deeply on the cellular structure of whoever has it and humanity to release some of the impediments that have stopped us from progressing. And it's here for a long time, actually. It will be here. It might morph a bit if, let's say, there's a better digital player or better amplifier or better whatever. But it might morph slightly or mutate, but it will be here for at least another 300 years, actually, in its various forms. So just know you are an early adopter, and you're to be thanked for that. We're very grateful that you're listening. And tonight, we're going to, now it's a good time if you need to take a quick break. I'm going to stop the recording and start again. And we'll be going into deep trance. And just saying it, I just went into deep trance, as I'll suggest if I am. And so we're going to go into deep trance, and we're going to close three doors. And as I said, it could be a pattern, a belief, a relationship, anything, absolutely anything, things you need to put a solid end to. And then we're going to tune into six things we need to open up. And those things might come in your dream state tonight, or they may come in the next week or the next month. Who knows? But we're opening six new doorways. And then we are symbolically giving away nine things. It could be, some junk in your garage. But all right, I'll see you back here in 1 second. I'm just going to... Mm-hmm.